Good. Well, guests, welcome. We have 7 hours of hard work to do with some lunch in between. The members know the routine. They know the break times and the lunch times. Lunch is 45 minutes, not an hour. And this one has proved to be the best one of the six. So you're on the sixth workshop of the six. I keep thinking I might invent 7 and 8, but we'll see. We'll see. Let's forget the housekeeping. You all know the housekeeping rules. Don't leave your bags around, even though I'm going to lock the door and we're going to lunch outside. Turn to page 4. Actually, why don't we get the guest to read page 2. Protocol is that yes, Andy and Graham, particularly Graham, who wasn't here in the last workshop, Jean wasn't here in the last workshop. The protocol is this: if there's a grey box, then somebody reads it out loud. And, well, it's your turn first. So, page 2, grey box. Protocol is we stand, because the sound carries over people's heads better, and you get to read the grey box, first one of the day. Where you go.
I love reading to you. I read to my son all the
time. Very good.
I just learned from my heart. "We are all going on an expedition," said Christopher Robin as he got up and brushed himself. "Thank you, Pooh." "Going on an expedition," said Pooh eagerly. "I don't think I've ever been on one of those. Where are we going on this expedition?" "Expedition," said the old bear. "It's got an X in it." "Oh," said Pooh. "I know." But he didn't really.
No, he didn't really. And some of you are sitting in this room thinking, I know what we're going to talk about today. Particularly from the material that you sent. And some of you during the course of the day will think, I know what's coming up now. I understand this subject. I get it. And I'm about to tell you right now, right here, no, you don't. I know what my competitors are teaching and other people who are providing business consultancy services to this industry. And this material is not being taught anywhere in the UK. Not because I'm cleverer than anybody else, it's just different. So if you ever sense during the course of the day you think, I know what's coming up, be very wary of that thought. Why is that dangerous, Fred? Why is that a dangerous thought to have as you see a new subject coming up? Oh, I know what's coming now. Why is that so dangerous?
I think it's very easy to go from one consultancy area to another and pick up different things in different places. Because everybody's trying to sell something.
But why is the thought, I get this, as we're about to approach a subject, so dangerous?
Because you're making an assumption which might not necessarily be true.
Yeah, and what happens when you make that assumption as you begin to learn?
You switch off.
You do. Really dangerous to think. If you find yourself thinking, I know what he's going to talk about now. That's a dangerous point for you. May not be to the person next to you, but for you, that's dangerous. Because you'll switch off automatically, and you may miss something you've never fully understood before. Let's now turn to page 4. And just spend 30 seconds digesting that, so that if I ask you, you can tell me exactly what that page is saying. As if you were coaching the group, and in less than 60 seconds, Gordon, why don't you summarise the page?
I would say 90 days hard work to an ideal lifestyle.
Okay. One of the things I warn when people join the programme is that don't think for one moment that you're going to implement this in less than 3 years. And then I go and say 90 days something. Doesn't compute. 3 months, 3 years, there's a 12 multiple gap there. What I'm saying today is, look, just because it is a 3-year program doesn't give you an excuse to not think about this for the next 90 days and start doing something about it. And here's a promise to you. There are elements of this that can shift the way you behave and therefore your business results in the next 90 days. There are elements that can completely shift the way you behave in the next 90 days. And you'll spot for yourself those elements that are implementable within 90 days. And that shift will be fundamental. And you'll understand why by 5 o'clock today. So, my expectation of you in coaching is that within the next 90 days, I'm going to ask you, so which of these elements have you implemented? And it is totally practical that you do that. Good. Page 5. Hardwired for failure, number 1. Here's the question. What's amazing about you in this group is that you've survived. And you know as well as I do what the stats say in this country and in the USA and probably in Japan and China as well. What are the stats about business survival in the first 5 years? Nigel?
It's very slim.
How slim is slim? Almost exactly in each country.
20% survive.
Yeah, there's about 20% survive in the first 5 years of any small business that starts. And these are all small businesses. What happens in the next 5 years? Do you think? Andy, what do you think happens in the next 5 years?
I've no idea, but I think it'd have to be similar, wouldn't it? I think 20% of...
Yeah. So you're the financial planner. You tell me what 20% of 20% is. Jeremy.
Tiny.
What's 20% of 20%?
Four.
Who's been in business for longer than 10 years in their current business structure? So you're part of the 4%. But here's a problem. What I'm saying is all of you in this room, including me, are hardwired for business failure. And yet many of you survived the first 5 years. Well, what am I trying to say? The reason you and I are in this room together is because the business doesn't work. The business doesn't work. And you've read the books that I've read, and you know exactly why I make that statement. If the business worked, you could do what you like with every day of your week. If the business worked, it could work without you. Which means that you and I work our socks off. We work, but the business doesn't. Yet. We're not free. By definition of being in this room, we're not free yet. We're not even got to the point of Julie Lord, who never works on a Friday. You know, that's Julie Lord's stamp of getting there. Sorry, Julie Lord was one of the past presidents of this, that and the other in the PFS and really high profile IFA, who sold her Cavendish business to Bluefin. The business simply does not function as a business. It functions as a very credible financial advisory practice in which we are consumed. Am I right or am I right? Who here has taken more than 4 weeks holiday in the last 12 months? More than 4 weeks. Who has taken more than 8? Now I know Nigel takes more sensible breaks than probably anybody in this room. How often do you get away to Scotland?
Every 2 weeks.
Goes away for?
3 days minimum.
3 days minimum. Every 2 weeks. Nigel's getting there. Every 2 weeks his family and himself go away for a 3 day minimum break in Scotland. Has a wonderful idyllic time. He lives the life that most people dream about, and he's still working what he calls full time. But he's still not there. So here's the question, why on earth are we so hardwired to not effectively build a wisdom? What's wrong with us? We're pretty intelligent beings, you're pretty bright, your IQ is almost certainly higher than mine. I know mine, and I know it's pretty low. What is it about us intelligent beings that just hardwires us for business failure? Well, let's look at that. Who here has been to Massachusetts? Anybody? Been to Boston? T- tell me about Boston. How did Boston feel? If you were to describe Boston.
If I was to describe Boston, it would be a small Manhattan. I was living in Manhattan at the time, so it was a small Manhattan. It's a small city.
Very small city. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, ugly?
Boston itself is not particularly beautiful. The outskirts are beautiful. Places in Massachusetts are very beautiful.
Beautiful, okay. And you've been as well? Okay, how would you describe Boston?
Sort of a bit of two halves, right? It's sort of the older city near the port, and then the much newer, vibrant city, a little bit further inland.
Okay.
Full of glass and gleaming towers. But very, very vibrant, very friendly. And a lot of history there, of course, as well.
There is a lot of history in Boston. It's a very old city, isn't it, as far as Americans are concerned? I remember going to visit my brother in Ocala in Florida, and his wife Annie, who's a cop, she's a lieutenant in the police force, she took us up to Ocala and she said, let's go to the old part of town. And she took us out, you know, colonial style house. I said, well, how old is old? She said, well, it's over 30 years old. So Boston's a pretty old city. Tell me about the streets in Boston. Are they laid out matrix, you know, kind of like this, or are they more...
Against the old style.
And do you know why that's so? Whereas many of the other cities in America laid out by this. I mean, one of the first cities ever laid out like this was a city called Nauvoo, built by a guy called Joseph Smith. And he designed that. And just about every other city started to copy them. But Boston was built on cow paths. Boston's built on cow paths. They looked at where the cows had walked, and therefore all the farmers had walked after the cows, and the cows just followed the least path of resistance to get wherever they wanted to go, to the nice stuff, which might be home, back to the sheds, or it might be out to the best part of the pasture. And as the people started to follow the cows, eventually the paths became fairly permanent, and when they started to build roads for horse and buggy, and then eventually cars, they simply followed the cow paths. And that's why Boston's built in the way it's built. They built Boston on the cow paths, the line of least resistance where everybody just happened to follow things. And much of England's like that, which is why Americans get seriously hacked off when they drive in England. Why can't you guys build straight roads? What is wrong with you? I mean, primary, A to Z, you know, shortest distance between two points. What is wrong with you guys? Well, we built a lot of England on cow paths, you know? Cow paths and the fields and the hedges and then everything. Just the least line of resistance was easy for the government to work through. That's what happens. That's how we built England. And that's how we build businesses that make us hardwired for failure. We build our businesses on cow paths. Those lines of activity where there is the least problem and the least hard work and the least resistance, we naturally follow. Whatever's comfortable in our heads and our hearts is what we want to do, and that's how we build our businesses. And each of you has built your business in a slightly different way, and it reflects you. Yeah? Everybody read The E-Myth by Michael Gerber? Your business is a mirror of your mind. And all of your businesses are slightly different. They mirror what's going on inside your head and your heart. And all of you think and feel and do things according to the way you think and feel, and none of you were brought up to think and feel like business owners. Therefore, you build your businesses to reflect that, and you follow what comes easiest to you and what is most comfortable to you. And the business reflects that. And that's why the business doesn't work, because businesses can't be built on the path of least resistance. Businesses don't work like that. Create a business is actually quite a difficult task. Anybody ever been to see the Grand Canyon? Tell me about the Grand Canyon, Howard.
It's vast, unless you've actually seen it, you can't believe it actually exists.
Sorry, just say that a bit louder, I'm not sure.
Unless you've actually seen it, you can't believe it exists.
What is it you can't believe?
Just the vast emptiness. But there's so much to see, you can look in at any angle, there's just something to see. There's rock formations, paths, the river, the Boston, it's phenomenal.
How vast is vast?
Well, as far as I can see.
Yeah. How wide is it at its widest point? Any idea?
Half a mile? Once a mile or so.
It's at least that, isn't it? Yes. I mean, it's huge. It is colossal. It's vast. If you ever try to trek across the bottom of Grand Canyon, you'll know it's bigger than half a mile. Because you'll be in serious trouble getting across the bottom. It is vast. You ever stood at the top of the Grand Canyon, seen the planes flying underneath you? It's really quite scary. It's almost surreal. And that's taken, whatever your idea of the creation of the Earth is, forever to create that canyon. And just water trickling through and then cutting a path, year after year, thousands of years after thousands of years, have created that until the canyon is so deep and so vast, you can't change it. You just can't change it. My challenge with you is that I meet you halfway down the Grand Canyon. When you're getting on in years, you're over 20, okay? You know, and you're taking some responsibility for life. And I'm meeting you halfway down the Grand Canyon. You cut so deep and so vast a channel in the way you behave, and then you come to me and say, please can you re-divert the Grand Canyon? And I'm thinking, it's too deep. My challenge, therefore, is I can't do that unless I go right back to the beginning of the source of the river and change the way the river works and the way it runs. I can't change your Grand Canyon. So when you come to me and say, can you teach me some things to do to change the face of this business and how it works? My response in turn is, I can't do this. I've tried for 2 years, I still can't do it. And I've realised I can't do it because I'm playing with the Grand Canyon of years of carving out the easiest route, the path of least resistance that the river has followed and has carved out this canyon. And I have to get right back to the beginning of the river and then try and change that. And that's the challenge we have in this creating a business that actually works. Because you're all hardwired to fail. Because you've followed the path of least resistance all of your business life. Whatever's come comfortable to you is what you've done. Turn over to the next page. I didn't say these messages were going to be easy. I'm just saying they're true.
What's myelination?
Sorry?
What's myelination?
Yes. I was hoping you would come with that. There's a big fat box nobody asked a question about. What is myelination? What is it? Myelination. It's the Grand Canyon of your head. When you're young, you start to work things out because challenges are thrown at you, particularly in school and outside in life. And your brain says, oh blimey, this is really hard work. I don't know how to do this. I've never worked this one out before. Never seen a tree. What's a tree mean? Never added two numbers together. What does that mean? And what am I doing it for? And how do I do it? And the brain hates hard work, although it's capable of more things than you and I would ever be capable of doing, be asked to do in this mortal life. It's just far more capable than 70 years allows it. It's got capacity that you're never going to be using because you never push that hard. But it doesn't like inefficiency. And here's what it does. When it works out a problem or deals with a question that it's not met before, it does what ants do when they work together. You ever seen ants working? How do they all end up walking in the same line, backwards and forwards like that, along the same line? No matter how far they walk, they all end up walking along the same line, backwards and forwards. How do they do that? How do they know, because they're just about blind, how to follow a line that could last a mile? And you see the trail. Have you ever watched ants? I used to study them as a child. Study them for hundreds of hours as a child. Years I study ants. They're amazing social animals. You can follow this line right across a lawn or across a garden or across a wood. Mile. And they know exactly where the line is to follow. because they're laying a trail, chemical trail. And your brain does the same, and it's called myelin. It lays a chemical trail from neuron to synapse and along whatever route it takes through your brain until you've worked out whatever it is that you've got to work out. And when you next meet that kind of problem, it says, do I recognise this? Oh, blimey, I remember that one. It's a tree problem. And it says, where's the chemical path? And it goes down the chemical path because it hates inefficiency and hard work. The problem is, it may have worked something out, but it may not be correct or it may not be true, but it still worked it out. And next time it meets it, it assumes that the answer is down the myelin trail. And it just, the electric current follows the chemical pattern that you've already laid the last time. And in the end, you become hardwired to solve that problem, thinking that's the only way to solve it, because the brain won't allow you to do anything else. And you think, I know the answer. No, your brain has simply laid out an answer and forces you to follow it next time it meets the problem. And the guy sitting next to you probably thinks, what the heck do you want to do that for? And you think, well, it's obvious, isn't it? Because that's the way you do it. No, that's the way you're myelinated in your head. His head is myelinated a different way, because he dealt with it in a slightly different way 10 years ago. See the problem? And then you come to me and say, can you please demyelinate me? And I look at you and think, oh, blimey, 10 years of myelination, I've got to change it. Can you teach me to do a new trick? Can you give me a template? Sam Reimer, who now works with me on a subcontract basis, looked at every single feedback element that ever has been typed or sent to me by email or by feedback sheet and analysed it on a spreadsheet. It took him forever. And I thought I knew what you wanted from me. And do you know what the most popular thing was? Give us a checklist. Give us a template. It's not a problem. It's what we're doing. But running business by paint by numbers isn't quite how it works. So that's my problem with you. That's why you're hardwired for failure. And we've got to try and overcome that. Do turn over to the next page, which is page 6. Spending a lot of time on this because it's so fundamental to everything we're going to learn today. I want you to sit with your pen, study that out, and someone's going to present that to us in 2 minutes flat as to what's being said on that page. Right, and before I pick on someone, just when you thought you were ready, here's the second part of the exercise. You ready? Take your pens, and in the middle column, define the characteristics of adolescence in a human being. The characteristics of adolescence. I had some real pleasant ones here. In the middle column, define the characteristics of adolescence in a human being.